Arizona Senate candidate Blake Masters tells me why it's game over if the Democrats win the midterms. I'm Sarah Carter on the latest Sarah Carter Show. I'll also tell you how President Biden is sending our precious energy reserves to Hunter Biden's buddies in China. Follow the Sarah Carter Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning.
Hi. Happy, happy Monday,
everybody.
Before we get into all the news, and there is so much, oh my gosh, there is so, so much. I thought it would be fun if I got out one of my Patriot Supply emergency food kit buckets.
Yes.
I mean, it's a lot of food, you guys. And so if you get the 3-month kit, it is six of these bad boys. But you can tell, super sturdy. Like, this is probably like thicker than like trash cans. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's dirty stuff. And then it's chock full of all the delicious food. And that is what you need. 2,000 calories a day is what they recommend for the average adult in a time of crisis, because you're already stressed out and you're already like wigging out. So you need more calories.
You need the calories and the banana chips. You got to have the banana chips in there.
Mine does not have that in it anymore because I already ate them. So they are not available to me in an emergency. But if you just keep this in your closet or your store, wherever you keep it, it's good for 25 years, you guys. It lasts forever. So it's just a really good thing to have on hand, whether you choose the 1-month emergency food kit or the 3-month. The 3-month has the $150 off right now. So it's huge mega sale. If you go to preparewiththechicks.com, preparewiththechicks.com. And then while you're there, check out all the other awesome, like, emergency disaster recovery stuff that they have, because they have a lot at My Patriot Supply. Preparewiththechicks.com.
Yes, they do. And make sure that you're also checking out our insiders group, Facebook insiders, because they're completely awesome. And our locals too, chicksontheright.locals.com. Those are your people.
So, JF is now married. I guess that's what she's going to be called now that she's married. J-Lo has married Ben Affleck and is taking his name, just not for the stage. So I don't know if she's going to go by JF or just continue to be J-Lo, but her name is Jennifer Lynn Affleck now. They got married at that little white chapel in Vegas. So
yeah, I saw that she's been wanting to take his name for years. It just begs the question, like, when did she, for years, like when she was with the 15 other guys that she was with? I'm curious. Like, I don't know. When did that happen? And then our friend Becky was like, how long do you give this?
I give it 6 years.
That's a long time, Mop.
Yeah.
I give it like maybe 3 or 4.
Didn't she last with Mark Anthony for a good while though? I feel like that was her longest.
She did. There were children involved, right? You know, I don't know. I think both of these people, I may be completely wrong, because both these people are so needy of one another. Like, you can tell they're just so, they need each other so badly, you know? So maybe it'll work out, because they require another human being to make them whole, you know?
Yes.
You know what I mean?
I do. And that's why I think, and this is what, her fifth marriage or something. So I feel like she's going to give this a good go. That's why I'm being generous with my estimate.
Yeah, I'm probably wrong on that.
What's yours?
I said 3. So I'm probably going to be completely wrong. But yeah, they got married pretty quickly. Then again, they were together, 20 years ago. So,
right.
You know, yeah. Would you think about it? Like, I think about all the, not all, but some of the men that I've been with and then doing a do-over. And I'm like,
Thank you, but no.
Next.
Anyway, so that there concludes your celebrity gossip for the day. Other big news that happened over the weekend, everyone is absolutely losing their mind over the fact that UPenn nominated Leah Thomas as the NCAA Woman of the Year. It's like they just took every woman in the world and said, here's a big fat slap across your collective faces, women. This is what we're doing. It's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. And feminists are like, that's okay. That's fine. It's fine. And then they have the audacity to complain about the patriarchy when that happens. Like, shut up and take all the seats, feminists. All of them. Take them all. God, these women are a joke. Absolute joke.
Yeah, that was just ridiculous. And then, of course, in sad news over the weekend, awful news, right here in metropolitan Indianapolis, we had another attempted mass shooting. Some lunatic just barged into the Greenwood Park Mall, which is just south of Indianapolis.
That was my mall.
Your mall. And started shooting. Thankfully, an armed citizen, turns out a 22-year-old male, that's all we know about him so far, had a gun and took that guy out before he could kill more people. I think that the total number of people who died were 3, but that includes the gunman. And so two innocent people were shot and killed.
I saw 4. Maybe that's wrong.
Well, and I'm seeing conflicts about that. Cause I know that there's been a couple of injured, including a 12-year-old girl, minor injuries, thankfully.
Right.
But man, thank goodness for good armed guys, right?
Right. Good guy with a gun. So bad guy with a gun goes in there, starts shooting. Good guy with a gun is like, I have concealed carry. Not today, dude. And so good guy with a gun takes care of the situation. Thank God for the good guy with a gun. Because if the good guy with the gun was not there, it would have been so much worse, you guys. So that is the only good thing that has come out of this is that we have to realize that our Second Amendment rights are, we have to make sure that we preserve them because of this, because of what happened last night.
And we don't know anything about the shooter. All we know is that it's an adult male. Very little has come out. I do have one clip to share with you from the Greenwood Police Department. So it's just a quick update. So you'll hear how they're addressing it at the moment.
LEO's reporting, self-reporting from home when they heard about it. IMPD SWAT team members were here just as quick as ours were. It was a very, very fast response. But I'm going to tell you, the real hero of the day is the citizen that was lawfully carrying a firearm in that food court and was able to stop this shooter almost as soon as he began.
What can you tell us about him? I'm sure if you want to tell us his name, that'd be great. But I'm sure
I can tell you that he's a 22-year-old male from Bartholomew County, and that is all that I can release at this time.
What can you tell?
And I want that guy to get all the accolades and all the press, and his picture should be splattered everywhere. You know what I mean?
Yes, I absolutely 100% agree with you. Yeah, you're right. Because that's the thing. So many times we hear about the jack-off crazy whack jobs that are, you know, that's whose picture is splattered all over, you know, Daily Mail. Right. Mm-hmm. It's not the hero. He is the hero. He's the one that saved the day. That's who should be splattered all over Daily Mail, is that 22-year-old kid from Bartholomew County. And this hits close to home, right? Because I mean, that's where I walked into the mall. I was telling you before we got in, like, that's that area, like that food court area, is where my daughter and then I hear about the 12-year-old, and it's just like, oh my God. I mean, like, these are happening more and more. Right? These shootings are happening more. We can't deny that this is happening more often. And so it is necessary. It is essential that we preserve our Second Amendment rights, you guys, and that good guys continue to have the right to bear arms.
And that places like malls be places that people can lawfully carry, because I want all the good guys with guns. I want everyone in the mall to be armed if they want to be armed. Because this is what we know, there's crazy people. And the only way to get rid of the crazy people or to prevent them from doing mass carnage is to be armed yourself. I don't know why this is such a hard concept for people, but it continues to be. I see a lot of people on Twitter going, people who are saying the good guy with a gun saved the day aren't keeping in mind that there's too many guns out there anyway, and things could have gone horribly wrong. I mean, they're making excuses still. And I'm just like, what is wrong with you?
It's ridiculous. Like, I mean, you live on the north side. I lived on the south side when I lived in Indiana. And the south side, I mean, it's like really a lot of people, it's kind of, I don't want to say it's more country out there, but it's just the south side was a little bit different. More people, I felt like more people carried out there. I'd walk into a Target or a grocery store or whatever, and it was very common that you'd see people with you know, that would open carry, or like you'd see them conceal carry. You could tell if they were concealed carrying, you know what I mean? Like you could just see a guy that had like a gun on it. I felt very safe. I felt a lot safer when I saw a dude and I could tell, like, if I didn't have my firearm with me, because I had an LTCH in the state of Indiana, I would be like, okay, well, I feel good that there's a dude with a gun. And I like that. I like that because I knew that that dude, I was like, okay, well, he's trained. He has an LTCH. And so if I don't have my firearm with me, he has his and he's got my back, you know? So that's a good thing. I felt like that was a good thing. So for these people screeching on Twitter, they obviously don't get it. They just don't.
And I can't believe that they're not like at least showering praise, heaps and heaps of praise on the person that saved so many lives. And so anyway.
Yeah. Those are the first people who, if they were in that food court and that guy, they would have been like behind that guy, the good guy with the gun. So take all the seats.
Yeah, because cops can only get there so quickly. What we need are people on the scene, already on the scene, who are armed and ready to protect innocent people from crazy people. And the more this kind of story happens, I mean, not that I'm, obviously, I don't want more mass shootings, but at some point you would think the gunmen will realize, well, crap, there's going to be probably a lot of armed people there and I'm not going to get out of this alive. So why bother? You know, that you can only hope that that is the case. But anyway, that was really close to home, extra close to home for you, even though you're no longer here, because that's like where you frequented.
Yeah, my mom lives right down the street and she used to work there. She used to work at that mall. So she was the first one to write me and be like, oh my God, this happened at Greenwood. Oh my God. Yeah. So, I mean, she's there all the time. She's at that mall. Yeah.
Yeah. Ugh, it's just crazy. Really, really good news. Wanted to remind everybody, we talked about this last week, but our custom shirts for Camp Tono, which is our meet and greet happening just outside of Tampa on the 10th of September. It's sold out. But we do have our shirts available for sale on the Grateful American Apparel website. If you weren't listening to us last week, then you may have missed out on the fact that Grateful American Apparel, 100% of their profits, 100% of their profits go to support veterans causes, armed forces, veterans first responders, and their families. So it's an amazing, amazing company. And now you can get our t-shirt there. You'll know you're in the right place if you see this website, gratefulamericanapparel.com. And then if you just scroll down a little, ta-da! There it is. We're so happy with it. We're so happy with the design.
It's Chicksapalooza. It's Chicksapalooza 2022, you guys. Camp Tono. There it
is.
Yeah, I'm so delighted. So delighted with the design. Our producer's boyfriend helped us. He designed it, but we helped him kind of figure out exactly what we wanted to do. It took a couple iterations and it just turned out exactly the way we wanted it. We're so excited.
So, so excited. So, so excited. So if you want one, whether or not you're coming to meet and greet, if you'd like one, or if you'd like any other t-shirt that Grateful American Apparel sells, you know that your money is going to a good cause. And so take advantage. Grateful American Americanapparel.com. Also, while I am mentioning things that we want people to know about, I also want to remind everyone that there is still work behind the scenes happening at presidentialelectionproject.com. They are working very hard at trying to get the news out, the word out about how important it is to reform the Electoral Count Act ahead of the 2024 presidential election, because we do not want all of the confusion that there was around what was Mike Pence's role in the 2020 election. There was way too much ambiguity, not enough clarity. That's the whole point of the Presidential Election Project, is to drive change to the Electoral Count Act so that it is perfectly clear and understandable that Kamala Harris's role in 2024 is purely ceremonial. She is not there to decide arbitrarily that she doesn't like the way that Florida or Georgia handled their elections. She thinks that there was like voter suppression, so she's just going to disqualify their votes. We do not want that to happen, and it could. And that's why it's so important that these changes get made. It's the Electoral Count Act. You can learn about this at presidentialelectionproject.com. All right, moving on. I would like to talk about Saudi Arabia, because that was a big news story. There was a photo that went global of Joe Biden fist bumping the crown prince of Saudi Arabia. And not a good look, not a good look for our country. There's been a lot of talk about that, how awful that looked, especially in light of the murder of Khashoggi, especially in light of the fact that Biden's going over there simply to beg Saudi Arabia to produce more oil.
When we can get it here in Texas. What the hell, Biden? Yeah, I mean,
I don't get it. Like, does climate change not get impacted based on where the oil comes from now? Is this the story?
Yeah, is it cleaner? Is the oil cleaner in Saudi Arabia? Like, is it cleaner there than it is in Texas? I'm curious. Like, climate change people need to answer that question immediately. Yep. These people are unreal.
Unreal.
At this point, it just becomes comical. They become comical. We're stapling money to the clouds. It's like, I swear there was a list. We did a whole podcast about this, about all the crap that they've said. Remember? It was like, what? I don't know, probably 5 or 6 podcasts ago, about all the climate change bull crap that they've said over the past 60, 70 80 years. That's never come true, but yet our taxes continue to go up because they're full of crap. And now he's going and groveling to Saudi Arabia. It is not a good look.
No. And it doesn't matter what side of the aisle people are on, there's universal anger about this. And Jake Tapper had Senator Chris Coons on his show to talk about this. And you can tell Jake Tapper is mad. Now, Chris Coons, I have to say, Democrat Senator Chris Coons, very well spoken, very calm. There's something very gentle about the way that he argues, which I actually appreciate. He's wrong, obviously, on everything, but his spin, he's very, very good at the spin, and he does it in this very calming way. But Jay Tapper, he is not here for it. Watch.
First of all, Joe Biden, when he was running for president, he said he was going to turn Saudi Arabia into a pariah nation. Okay? He said he was going to turn Saudi Arabia into a pariah nation. He flew to Saudi Arabia and he fist bumped Mohammed bin Salman, the man responsible, according to Biden's own director of national intelligence, for ordering a brutal murder of a Washington Post journalist, killing him, and then dismembering him with a bone saw. I mean, that fist bump photograph, I think a lot of Americans saw that and were revolted by it.
What I'm revolted by is what I saw in Bucha and what is a brutal and tough choice that our president faces is the path forward when Russians are committing horrific human rights abuses every day in Ukraine, when the unity of the West and NATO is at risk if we cannot secure additional resources for the gas and oil needs to replace Russian oil and gas in the coming months. And bluntly, our president faced a tough choice. The only 3 countries that have significant untapped reserves are Venezuela, Iran, and Saudi Arabia. And I think our president made a tough choice, but one I can respect as long as he continues to raise and press human rights issues. Absolutely. The killing of Jamal Khashoggi was horrifying. I would rather not be on this show saying that our president went and met with MBS. But given the situation we're in the world today, given what changed on February 24th, given what we all know about the ongoing murders, the brutal killing of innocent civilians happening every single day in Ukraine, I support our president.
Oh my God, that guy annoys the crap out of me. How can that even be soothing to you at all?
Well, no, he doesn't get very animated. He's very calm in his delivery. You know what I mean? That's all.
That makes him seem like a psychopath to me because he's so, he's like, you and I differ on that. He's saying lies in a calm way. That makes him, I'm just like, that makes you even worse. It makes you even worse because the way that you can deliver the bullshit makes you, it's like, does he actually believe that there's no oil here in the United States? Because that you should be like, just run out of town. You should be run out of this job. The fact that he gets any money from taxpayers and he is saying those are the only 3 places that we can get oil. My daughter, my 12-year-old daughter knows that that's not true. Like, what is wrong with these people? He is flat out completely wrong. So wrong. Like, how can he not know that there are people out there going, you're lying. You're lying. Lies are coming out of your pie hole, like right now on national television.
Well, Jake Tapper did not look impressed, I must say. Like, he was like,
I'm not either. Well, but then for the first time ever in the history of the world, Jake Tapper and I agree, because I'm not impressed either.
Well, and Tom Cotton also had a take about this, and that is that Joe Biden should have never actually said that he planned to make Saudi Arabia a pariah state, that was a huge blunder from the get-go. Here he is talking about that.
Should have never ostracized Saudi Arabia and Mohammed bin Salman. That country has been a partner of ours for 80 years, and a dozen presidents going back to Franklin Delano Roosevelt found a way to work with their leaders to help provide safety and prosperity to the American people. That's what Joe Biden should have been doing from the very beginning. But by going down this path, by calling it a pariah state and saying that he wouldn't meet with the crown prince, the de facto day-to-day ruler of Saudi Arabia, he only probably antagonized the Saudis more, and then he still turns around and meets with them when he is there. He should just say, as a dozen presidents for 80 years have said, that Saudi Arabia is an important partner of the United States. It's an important force for stability with our other friends, to include Israel in a region when Iran is threatening us all, and try to work with them to defend the interests of the American people.
That's a guy who's calm and spits facts. Like, but at least the stuff coming out of his face he's factually correct. Like, he's actually telling us what's true. Also, you know what? I think Tom Cotton could actually run for president one day.
I think he wants to, yeah.
If somebody just worked with him on some, you know,
smiling.
I don't know. Yeah, on just some, because I mean, it's hard nowadays just to be smart. You have to work on your persona, right? You got to like,
well, that was Mitch Daniels' problem, or that's what people said was Mitch Daniels' problem.
Right.
And I was always like, but we know him and he really is great.
He was probably a little bit more warm. Like I say, he was warmer and a little bit more Midwestern fun than Tom Cotton. Tom Cotton is so straight-laced.
I know. I've never seen him smile, ever.
Very rigid. Yeah. I mean, he's great. He's brilliant, though. He's just such a great, I mean, he's really good at what he does. I guess I can see him running.
Okay, so now there's another analyst. This guy is, I think he's an editor from the National Review, and he is an Indian fellow. He's making an excellent point here, still on this whole Saudi Arabia and Biden trip. Here we go.
You've got several problems here. One is that the president has sacrificed some reputation in return for not much that's immediate. The second is there are some questions about whether the Saudis even have the capacity to increase production at the levels that Americans would like to see.
Exactly.
And then third, does the U.S. have the refining capacity in order to make that translate into lower prices at the pump? So I don't think that this trip is going to be a political win for the administration.
His point was, we don't even know if Saudi Arabia produced all the oil that Biden's asking for, would we even have the capacity here to refine it? And why the frick aren't we doing this at home? Why?
We would have the capacity if they would just lift all the restrictions and stuff. My God, people have said that. The oil and gas companies have said that. Like, they've been screaming it. Has nobody been listening? Has nobody been paying attention to these people? Good Lord. My God, yes. It's like, I mean, people have been saying over and over again that like Texas has the capacity. We could sell it. We could sell it to people, but they won't do it. They won't lift the restrictions. They won't make it so that can happen. Why is everybody so dumb? I don't understand. Why are we making this so hard? We have it. We have it here in the States. So why are we doing this? I know why. Because they want to do it. They want to cripple us because they want to do this green energy bullcrap. They have an agenda. This is what their agenda is. Their agenda is to make it so it's so hard that we can't do it, so they can actually like make it so they can push that stuff down our throats. They've made that abundantly clear, right? I mean, they've said that. They've said it out loud, haven't they?
Oh yeah. Well, and the oil and gas companies have been listening to the administration, who has said over and over again, we would like to end you.
Right.
And so you don't get to say in one breath, we're hoping that you're completely wiped off the earth within 5 years, and then at the same time say, can you please get some more oil and gas going?
Right.
Can you help us out? Of course we're not going to do that.
Biden ran on that. he ran on it. He's like, no more fossil fuels. Basically, I'm going to destroy you. I don't like you. I'm going to destroy you. This is what I ran on. And then these jackhats like voted for him. And then they're like, I don't understand. I don't know why stuff's so expensive and why you can't. This is, he did it. You voted for this, you jerks. And now this is where we're at. And now he's begging Saudi Arabia for this is. We are here because they voted for this. I didn't vote for it. You didn't vote for it. The people watching this, most of the people, except for the haters, they didn't vote for this. You know? So we are where we are because they, these jerks, these stupid people voted for this. And this is why we have to pay $100 for a tank of gas.
Yeah. Well, and Biden is not doing well with the criticism about the fist bump. So he was asked about this at the press conference. And, well, I'll just play it.
Yes.
You're coming under a lot of fire for your fist bump with the crown prince. Why? I just wanted to give you a chance to respond to that. But also, how can you be sure that another incident, another murder like Jamal Khashoggi's won't happen again?
God love you. What a silly question. How could I possibly be sure of any of that?
Yes, how could he be sure of any of that?
What a condescending jerk he is, right? What a silly question. What a silly question. Somebody should follow that up with, where's your crack-smoking, like, son? What's going on? What's going on with him? Like, let's ask some questions about that. Somebody should just, like, laid on with a follow-up question and, like, just started talking about Hunter just to see what he did. What a silly question. There are no silly questions. God, this guy.
Well, and then there's another moment where Biden says something about saying what he means or meaning what he says. And I've listened to it a couple times and I can't quite, you're going to help unpack and untangle this moment. Are you ready?
Yes.
I'm so surprised the way I react. No one's ever wondered that I mean what I say. The question is, I sometimes say all that I mean.
Okay. I don't know. I was too busy watching him wipe the drool off of his chin. Did you see? Did you catch that? He's like, cannot with this guy.
Should we try that again?
Try it one more time.
Okay. All right.
I'm so surprised the way I react. No one's ever wondered that I mean what I say. The question is, I sometimes say all that I mean.
I don't know. I can't. Can you? Anybody? I don't know. I have no, because you know, because he doesn't have a teleprompter in front of him. So there's no telling. It's just that the synapses are firing and he has no idea. Everything's shutting down. And he's like, it's nap time. Jill hasn't given me my meds. I don't know. What's going on? Isn't it Tucker? Is it Tucker that said something about how somebody told him that Jill, some sort of confidant told him that Jill gave him meds during the campaign?
Yeah, like right before he has to do any kind of speaking, that Tucker said that he talked to someone whose firsthand account is that he saw this happen. That before whatever the medication was, that like he would sound like just a babbling idiot, like a complete baby. And then they would give him the meds and then he'd be okay. Now, I have no idea if that's true or not.
I believe it. I believe every bit of it.
It does seem plausible. Speaking of Tucker, there was an interesting clip that I'm going to play of him talking to, I think this woman is from Norway, if I'm not mistaken. She is a feminist and a radical feminist, I think she even calls herself. Definitely a leftist. But she is now seeing how crazy things have gotten in terms of this whole discussion of trans issues and biology and what are women and all of this stuff. So she's facing jail time, you guys.
Oh my God.
For suggesting that men are men and women are women, because you can't do that now. I don't know if you knew that, but that's verboten. So Tucker is talking to her about that. Here that is.
Tell me how the country of Norway, again, a country to which we give every benefit of every doubt, filled with good people, beautiful place. But are you celebrated as a hero by people who still believe in science and free speech? Are people supporting you?
Well, a lot of people are supporting me across the entire spectrum of political, religious, everything. But a lot of people are also considering me on level with someone who's calling for genocide. I've been compared to everything from a fascist to a Maoist to a supporter of Westboro Baptist Church, which I don't even know what is. But basically... the entire spectrum of everything that's bad in the world is being hurled my way. Absolutely. But also a lot of support.
Are you surprised? I think you're on, I'm just guessing, but I think you're on the left. I don't think you're a right winger. I think you're from Norway. Are you surprised by all of this?
Unfortunately, I'm not surprised because this has been in the cards for a long time. If you can't talk about biological reality, it's unavoidable. This is simply unavoidable. But yeah, no, I align myself with radical feminism. I've been voting left all my life. Now I'm much more critical to what they are actually saying, and it seems like all parties in Norway are supporting this pseudoscience.
Keep doing it is what I say, because the more people like her start to see the light, you know, and they're realizing, holy crap, this is my side that is doing this, then maybe they will start to reel in the crazy.
Yeah, I this is nuts, you guys. I mean, I just, people are going to jail for this. People mm-hmm. are going to jail. Like, what kind of world, what is our world? What is our world right now? I'm like, I cannot believe that this is happening. And that more feminists aren't coming out and saying, what, okay, enough with this crap, enough with like words and semantics, because like, and this, it's crazy. We are living in Crazyville right now.
Yeah, it's nuts, man.
And women are being squelched. Women are being squelched. Just the notion of women is we're being suppressed at this point. Like it is, it's like the pendulum has gone this way and then women got all these rights, right? And now it's kind of coming back. And I don't think women realize it. Like women are, they think that we are all equal and everything's wonderful. It's like coming back, women. So speak out. And I think it's now conservative women's job to do that because liberal women aren't doing it.
Well, because we actually know what women are. So we're in a bit of an advantage when it comes to that argument because we actually know how to define women as adult human females. This is not hard.
Right. I just can't, jail. She's going to jail.
It's amazing, right?
It's remarkable.
Just want to remind everybody that if you're looking to lose a little weight, if maybe you went a little crazy over 4th of July and you need a reset, a great way to lose either a little bit of weight, to reset, or to lose a lot of weight is Nutrisystem. And Nutrisystem, if you go to Nutrisystem.com/chicks, you can get 50% off any of their plans right now. That's a big, fat, huge discount. No pun intended on the fat part, but it is a big, fat discount. And it's a great way to figure out, at least for me, it's been the best way to be like, okay, Miriam, this is what it looks like to have a portion. This is what your appropriate portion size looks like. Cause I suck at that. I see pasta, I'm like, I need 7 bowls of it, right?
Right.
And Nutrisystem prepares your pasta in a prepackaged meal plan. And then you're like, oh, okay, this is what I'm actually supposed to eat. And if I just slow down and like chew instead of inhaling my food, which is my typical way, then I'll actually feel full and it'll be fine. So you're going to love the food. That's the best part. It all tastes delicious. Check them out. Nutrisystem.com/chicks. Last clip of the day, and that is an interesting one from Governor Doug Ducey in Arizona, who was on with Dana Bash yesterday to talk about the primary in Arizona for the governor's race, which is happening in 2 weeks. And we are scheduled to speak with primary candidate Carrie Lake tomorrow. And so you know her as a complete firecracker. I mean, man, she does not hold back. When she has something to say, she is going to say it. She does not care who she offends or whose feelings she hurts. I will admit I'm a little bit scared of talking to her tomorrow.
I'm so excited. I cannot wait. I cannot wait.
A little bit scared because we are going to have some pointed questions for her. But Doug Ducey, not a fan. Holy cow. And so he was on Dana Bash to basically talk about the primary, but also to tell people nationally what he thinks of Carrie Lake. Here it is.
Primary is now just over 2 weeks away. You and the former president are on opposite sides of this primary battle. And the candidate he is supporting says the 2020 election was stolen. So what's at stake in this race for your state and for the overall Republican Party and its future?
Well, the names on the ballot are Karen Taylor Robeson and Carrie Lake. And Karen Taylor Robeson is the real conservative. She's the real deal. She started her career working for Ronald Reagan. She's pro-wall, pro-gun, pro-life. She's the mother of four. She's been a community leader and a successful business person. And I think Karen Taylor Robeson will be the best person to be a fresh new leader for the state of Arizona. Her opponent, on the other hand, bears no resemblance, her campaign or even her personal interactions with me, to anything she's done over the past 30 years. This is all an act. She's been putting on a show for some time now, and we'll see if the voters of Arizona buy it.
And how does this play into the national conversation, particularly about, as I mentioned, the election in 2020? Carrie Lake is backed by the former president, in large part because she says the 2020 election was stolen.
Well, Carrie Lake's misleading voters with no evidence. She's been tagged by her opponents with a nickname, Fake Lake, which seems to be sticking and actually doing some damage. Karen Taylor Robeson started from zero, and now this is a margin of error race.
So, not nice words for Carrie Lake.
Yeah, and we'll talk to her tomorrow and ask her about that.
Yeah, that's why I'm scared. Because, like, you know, when anybody questions her record, she does get very direct.
Bristly.
She gets very bristly. And there's a lot to question, frankly. I mean, the fact that she voted for John Kerry and Obama are the first couple of questions we're going to have for her. So, you know, it's an interesting primary because of the things that Doug Ducey said about her competitor. I mean, the fact that Carrie Lake has spent the majority of her career in the media compared to a candidate who apparently has community leadership and business experience and all this wealth of experience, it's going to be a tough fight. And so I know people tend to want a fighter, man. They want somebody who can punch and punch hard. And that is Carrie Lake, without question. So now we're going to have to see. We're going to try to do some digging with her tomorrow, and it'll be released, of course, on Wednesday. We're going to see if we can't figure out how has she transformed, because she clearly has. She has gone from being a Republican to a Democrat, or to an independent to a Democrat and back to a Republican. She's obviously gone through some transformations, and I think it's fair to ask her about those changes. So we're going to do that tomorrow. So that is our plan for tomorrow. All right. What is in your sack of whack?
Okay. My sack of whack today. So this is really strange. There's a man who has set a record for pushing a peanut up a mountain using his nose. Okay. Now you might think that this record would make him the only man to push a peanut up a mountain with his nose, but you're wrong. Okay. You're wrong. This guy's 53 years old. His name is Bob Salem. He's the fourth person to attempt this feat of endurance, you guys. And it took him a whole day less than the previous record holder to complete the task. He arrived at the top of Pikes Peak in Colorado last Friday morning. He did it in 7 days, okay?
Oh, my God.
The previous record holder was 8 days. So
why?
Yeah, and meaning that the guy who did it in 8 days was really pissed off about it. So here's the thing. So it took a, okay, this is his technique. He said much of the work is done at night in order to avoid the blistering heat and many of the distractions on the mountain. When you do it in the daylight, you have to stop every 10 minutes, 5 minutes, and like take some pictures and talk to people and do all that kind of stuff. So he says it like drags out the whole thing. So it took him, it takes him a week. So apparently, like, this is the thing, you go through about 2 dozen peanuts because some of them will fall through the cracks of the rocks and stuff like that. I have no idea how he got the idea for this, but this is what he does. He doesn't get sore. He says he loses weight. His muscles are fine, but it's just like, you know, his nose and everything. Now on the way, he subsists on a diet of peanuts, obviously, as well as crackers, Pop-Tarts, and an old can of survival food from 1964. This is what he does. That's it. This is just, he.
What does he get? Does he get, is there a prize? Like, is there
a plaque? He got a plaque. Well done, Bob. Well done. Well done, you. Well done. So if anybody wants to try to beat his record, he did it in 7 days. If you think you can beat that, going up Pikes Peak in Colorado in like 6 days. See if you can beat Bob, 53-year-old Bob, I encourage you to try to do that.
I just don't understand.
I just, like, who comes up with this crap? Who says, I'm going to push peanuts up a mountain with my
nose?
And
then other people were like, I can beat your record.
I did this. I mean, like, there are a handful of people who did this. Anyways, it's a thing. But listen, there may be somebody out there who thinks, that sounds awesome. I'm going to train for this, like Rocky. You know what I mean? And so you go. If that's your dream, it's whack, but I commend you. You go. Do it.
And then you too may be featured in Daisy's Sack of Whack.
And you're going to get a plaque. That's great. So
a sack of whack plaque.
Sack of whack plaque. We should give him a sack of whack plaque. We should start giving out sacks of whack plaque. We should plaques. We should do that. Anyway.
Oh my gosh. That is whack.
Mm-hmm. There you go. All right, everybody. Bring it in. Oh, God. I did not get enough sleep. Not enough sleep. Okay. I hope everybody has a fantastic day. And we will talk to you tomorrow.
Bye. We need to talk about our friends at Acre Gold really quickly because we like doing it. It's just a nice way to hedge against inflation and kind of build your portfolio and have some diversity in it. All you have to do is visit getacregold.com/chicks. You can start investing right away. And if you tweet or post @get_acre, you have a chance to win a free gold bar. All you have to do is just say, here's why I should be the winner. And then you very well may be the winner. So it's getacregold.com/chicks.
Arizona Senate candidate Blake Masters joins me to discuss why he believes it's game over for the U.S. if the Democrats win the midterms. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest Sarah Carter Show, I'll also ask Masters about President Trump and Elon Musk and tell you how President Biden is sending our precious energy reserves to Hunter Biden's buddies in China. Join me. Follow the Sarah Carter Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.